Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Wait a minute. Is this thing on? Is this website actually, is it working? Are we actually on? I think we're actually connected.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Jay, are you there?
I am here. I was just staying quiet just to mess with you a little bit there, see?
Oh, I don't get my heart started like that.
Because this is only going to be the fourth attempt of us doing this show. Because let's see, the first try, there was no way we were going to do the show because I was like sicker than shit. Wasn't going to happen. I felt bad rescheduling, so we pushed it down the road a few days. And then the last two times we tried to do this show, we couldn't connect to the service.
Not our fault. Blog Talk Radio just would not work. Phone line wouldn't work. Computer
yep.
connection wouldn't work. No connection worked at all.
And
I don't know if any
other
shows
issue.
Got on.
I mean, this wasn't. Yeah, this wasn't us because when I would log into the studio, and you would just get this red banner across the studio that says, "We know about the problem."
No, but the second sentence of that banner was the best part. It says, "Please
try
connect
the
to the
line.
Show via phone
yep.
while we work on the problem."
And you couldn't
so,
do it.
I'd call the phone to the host number to
yeah.
the call on the phone, and there would be complete silence. It would just be nothing there until, you know,
right.
you wait 2 or 3 minutes and then it would disconnect. But there was nothing. There was no way to host on the phone because it wasn't letting you do anything. There was no way to host on a computer because it wasn't letting you connect. It was just
yeah.
no way to do it at all.
And I was adamant that I was not going to do this show. Any other show I can handle doing on the phone, but this show where I'm clicking between screens and I'm working on things, this was the one show. I was like, no, I cannot do the Hall of Infamy show with a phone in my hand or on a speaker phone, picking up, you know, God knows what noises in the background, whether it's the dog or the kids or who knows what while I'm trying to do the show. And I'm excited. I told you before the show I was going to make a bold claim. This
yeah,
is
it's
a, going
it's okay.
to be...
You didn't have to do it on the phone because it wouldn't let you connect on the phone anyway.
I will tell you, this class, this is an all-timer.
Oh, boy.
I'm
putting
I'm
the hype machine
out
there.
On a limb, once the whole body of work is complete, you'll have to tell me. But, I was shocked when I came up with this class. There are people on this list and things on this list. I had to go back multiple times to our show page on the blog because you keep the master list updated. And I had to go back I went back multiple times just to make sure that I wasn't picking something like how has this not been picked? So I went back and I did it. Hope I don't snipe you on any of these. Because that's always going to happen. Am I hearing music?
It happens. And it does happen. Yeah, that's our awards music. It's our special awards
oh.
show.
wait a minute. I'm starting to feel
sorry
uplifted.
To scare you with all the connection issues that you thought maybe another show was bleeding in on us.
Yep.
No, that's me. I started our
okay.
awards music.
So sometimes I have screens open on
oh.
my computer and I start to hear ads start playing.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite. Is
yes.
when we'll be talking about a game recap, and I'll go to a stats page to bring up the stats, and then
and all of a sudden, screaming,
oh yeah, and all of a
somebody's
sudden
blaring
I'm
in your ear.
You know, yeah, I'm in the middle of a car insurance ad, halfway through, so I'm excited. We've got the tuxes on, and we're ready to go. We're handing out the Hall of Fame / Hall of Infamy, although we tend to skew towards the infamy side, but hey. Infamy is fame, right?
Exactly.
We don't have a hall of We don't have a Hall of Great. We don't have a Hall of Good. We have a Hall of Fame / Hall of Infamy, because sometimes we want to highlight things that deserve the light of day that haven't gotten it. And sometimes we want to shine a light on the things that the NFL would prefer that you forget.
Exactly.
And in one particular instance tonight, the NFL, well, actually, there's like three of them tonight. Like, the NFL was like, no, no, we don't want you to know about that. There's one in particular. It's the last one. The NFL was like, nope. So they actively had a hand in the last one. So there's a little teaser for the last entry tonight. But we'll get started with the first entry, Go Big or Go Home. I am not kidding. This is the one. I thank you. I couldn't have kept doing that with the music.
Sorry.
This is the one I had to go back and check multiple times. Just knowing the history of our show and the darkness of our show, for this individual to not have a place in the Hall of Infamy now, and we've been doing this for, a while. Eight, nine years?
Yeah, close to a decade.
I mean, the Hall of Infamy goes back to the blog, which I'm kind of sad about, because those early – I know we did a recap show – but those original entries never really got the, even though we constantly make jokes about them on the show, we have awards named after some of them on the show. Those first ones, because we were just plucking all that low hanging fruit, those were fun, but those were all in blog form. And anybody who wants to see them can go to our blog. It's in much less detail, .blogspot.com. There you go.
Very good.
Little thank you. I still remember because I've been to it so many times this last week. Like, no, this guy's on the list. Okay. Let me go through again. Well, okay. Hang on. Let me go through again. We usually like to tell you the name and then to tell you what they're infamous for or famous for. In this case, I'm going to tell you what they're infamous for, because for our first induction, we are inducting the Chris Benoit of the NFL, Javon Belcher. And if you didn't just have the hand slap on the forehead moment, like, we haven't done this one yet? Nope, folks. This one might even be too dark even for this show. But this is about the life and death, but mostly the death of Kansas City linebacker Javon Belcher, who on December 1st, this is crazy, on December 1st, 2012, murdered his girlfriend and baby mama in front of his own mother by shooting her 9 times. This is also with a blood alcohol level at the time of the incident of over twice the legal limit. So he's drunk off his ass, has had multiple arguments in the preceding evening and into the early morning of December 1st with his girlfriend, his live-in girlfriend, and mother of their 3-month-old baby, blows her away, shoots her 9 times in front of his own mother, by the way, then decides that after he does that, the best place to go is work. He drives to the Kansas City Chiefs practice facility right next to Arrowhead Stadium, is bumped into, he's kind of like run into by the Chiefs GM, Scott Pioli, in the parking lot. And Belcher just tells him what he did. He's like, yeah, I just murdered my girlfriend. And he's there trying to basically make amends, or, you know, to make sure, because we know what's coming next, if you know the story of Chris Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying that he wants to make sure that the team takes care of his daughter. And in the meantime, the Chiefs head coach and his position coach, this is Romeo Crennel, and as well as the linebackers coach, both show up. So you've got Belcher, now, who has murdered his girlfriend, and Romeo Crennel, the head coach, and the GM of the team, all standing around together in the parking lot. They're trying to convince this guy not to do what they know he's about to do. And then, of course, the police have been called, and he hears the police sirens. And at that moment, kneels to the ground and shoots himself dead. Just a horrific, horrific scene. The NFL did a really good job of scrubbing this. The Chiefs actually played their game the next day, if you can believe that. Of course, yes, you can believe that. You, I know, can believe that.
As a wrestling fan, I absolutely can believe that.
No one in the NFL, right? With we just went through the DeMar Hamlin thing. Hey, go back out there and play, you guys. Mm-hmm. But hardly any mention of it, other than this is, I mean, the perfect irony is they don't talk about what happened, but before the game, they have a moment of silence for the victims of domestic abuse. And then it comes out. So of course, after the fact, it comes out that he was a CTE candidate. He was living with CTE. Comes out about the toxicology with all the high blood alcohol level, and that whole incident, in true NFL fashion, was completely memory holed and scrubbed. I guess even to the point where we've done 10 rounds of these,
right?
And it was even so memory holed that it took us this long to even get it in, because how this wasn't first year, second year for us, I won't say blows me away. That might be a little.
That's
a little bit across
the
line, a little too soon, but yes, absolutely. This is the Chris Benoit moment in the NFL with the murder suicide aspect. Except at this point, he goes to work and does it to himself.
Right. That's the only difference.
That's the
Benoit
difference.
Did
yeah.
Not, did not
he
show,
show
up,
up
for
at
his
WrestleMania
job.
And, you know.
It wasn't WrestleMania. He had a pay-per-view that he was supposed to perform on, and he didn't show up. And this was why, because he was busy murdering his family and then himself. So that's the only difference. But yeah, you're right. It was completely memory hold, even out of our memories, because I definitely knew the name as soon as you said it and remembered what he did. And it was like, oh, I haven't thought about it since it happened, because it was just so horrific. And man. They did a great job of scrubbing that. You will never hear Javon Belcher's name mentioned on an NFL broadcast ever.
No, they had trouble even mentioning him on the broadcasts in general.
Right, after it happened.
Yeah.
And since then, just no way that they would ever bring him up. I went to the list of Kansas City Chiefs head coaches to confirm what I remembered about that, which is that incident was part of the demise of Romeo Crennel as Chiefs head coach, and it ushered in the era of, we need to bring in somebody that's going to completely turn the culture of this franchise around. Yep. We need to go the complete opposite direction. Let's go get that guy in Philly that has so much success. Let's get Andy Reid. And I think that kind of worked out. That's part of the memory holding. That's part of the sports washing that happens with incidents like that, is you go out and get a very successful coach to come in and change the culture. And Andy Reid is still obviously there, and he's got 2 rings, and he might have more before he's done. And nobody remembers Romeo Crennel was a head coach of the Chiefs, much less what happened while Romeo Crennel was a head coach of the Chiefs.
Correct. And, you don't remember things or the time frame. So, in my sort of Mandela effect mind of this event, I had assumed that Andy Reid was the coach when this happened. And then it was only through going through the preparation for the show, and I was like, oh, wait, I'm glad I did that, because, if I did this completely off of memory, I would have had – no, it wasn't – no, this was Romeo Crennel. If anybody remembers the long, illustrious tenure of Romeo Crennel – as head coach of the team. But to have that scene, even for the GM and the coach, and trying to plead with this guy, basically they know this guy's a murderer, but they're still pleading for his life with him at this point, and just hearing those sirens and saying can't do it, and he knew, came out of whatever rage or drunken stupor, whatever he was in, he knew that his life was over, and took care of it right there.
Can't do
in the parking lot. Yeah, right there in the parking lot of the team facility. And can't say that we're proud to welcome him into the Hall of Infamy, but this is a big one.
Mm-hmm. No, we completely forgot about it, and that's an oversight on our part, but it underscores. We'll get to you eventually when it's bad
That's
enough. We'll get around to it. We will absolutely give you the shine that you deserve. There's still murderers and bad guys on my list that he wasn't even on my long list because I'd forgotten about it. But there's still more. Believe me, there's sure. still more. And there's still more to come just in this show. I'm sure Jay is not done with the bad guys.
I'm not going to say, you know what? I'm light on the murder for the rest of the show.
Okay.
At least of the murdering of being done by the person that we're putting in. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Another entrant that I was just completely shocked was not on our list. But the next one, I'm going to go a little lighter.
Okay, this we need
you
some lightness.
You got to balance, you know. Yeah, you got to have a palate cleanser after
right.
that one. After that one, it's kind of hard not to go the other way. So you have the board up. So I, without giving a big to do here, I believe I only have one sound drop programmed in for the show, and I'll have you play that. It's HOF 2023.
Okay.
And this will introduce our next entrant into the hall.
All right. Producer Dre, roll the clip.
Blair Walsh from 27 yards left hash. Snap good. Spot down. Walsh's kick is up. And it is. No good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that. He missed it left. And the Seattle Seahawks are off to Charlotte. Blair Walsh missed a 27-yard field goal, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to lose 10-9.
Well, sometimes you just rather be lucky than good.
Oh, but the season can end like that.
I give you Minnesota Vikings kicker, Blair Walsh. And I remember my most vivid memory of that blown kick, even it looks closer than 27 yards when you see the highlight because it's this perfect back of the end zone shot because this was that season, end of the 2015 season. The Vikings were playing outside, and they weren't quite in the new stadium yet, right? They were in that in-between the Metrodome, so they were playing, I believe, at University of Minnesota.
Right.
And they're playing outdoors. I remember how brutally cold it was this day because this was the day – that
yep.
we flew to Vegas, you and
yep.
I.
That's it.
So I remember I'm at lunch with my wife. We're driving to the airport. We stopped for lunch, and that game was on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was sort of my way of, you know, trying to catch a little bit of playoff football. And we caught the end of that game. We were at a little bar and grill, having lunch, watching the game, getting ready for our drive to the airport because we were flying out to Vegas to meet you and your wife for what would have been our, you know, sort of like combined 40th birthday celebration that my wife had surprised me with. So this would have been January of 2016. And the Vikings, and that was, it was, I just remember it was so cold. You have no concept of how brutally cold it was that day. And here are the Vikings and the Seahawks playing outdoors in Minneapolis in January on a day that probably didn't get out of the single digits. It was cold and windy. It was just not a nice day. And they played to this 10-9 sort of slobber knocker slugfest. And the Vikings go on one final drive to get the ball down to what amounts to be about their 10-yard line, or the 10-yard line of the Seahawks, setting Walsh up for this chip shot, you know, closer than the new extra point by quite a bit.
Yeah.
And off the left hash, he kicks it up. And, I mean, this is, again, in the broadcast you hear that was the Vikings broadcast. Not even close. That thing just goes from the left hash straight to the left, and you heard it. The agony in the Vikings crew, the national coverage on it, that's why I didn't pull the clip from the national, wasn't as heart-wrenching or as interesting. because for the Vikings, I believe that's our same announcer who gave us the this is a Detroit, you know, with the Brett Favre thing. Could you imagine being that Vikings announcer having to call Blair Walsh and having to call Stephon Diggs? Well, actually, that was a good one. Or having to call Brett Favre, just having all those crazy Vikings highlights. But Blair Walsh earned his spot in the Hall of Infamy, but not once, but also twice. Because wouldn't you know, this is the side of the story, because I like, you know, try to give you some extra here on the show. Blair Walsh, of course, gets cut by the Vikings after this, right? You just can't come back from this. I remember you and I talking about this, and I'm sure if we go back and pull the tapes, I'm pretty sure we had Blair Walsh in witness protection after this. Like, you're done. But no. He gets signed the next season by none other than the Seattle Seahawks. So I don't know if there's some money sticking out of the back pocket here, but you go all the way forward to the end of that next season, and wouldn't you know, Blair Walsh in a 26-24 affair against the Arizona Cardinals for the Seattle Seahawks has a chance to kick Seattle into the playoffs, and he misses that field goal as well.
Oof.
So Blair Walsh not only torpedoed one season, he torpedoed two by missing. Now, that the chip shot, it wasn't a chip shot like it was with the Vikings one. This one was more of like a 47, 48 yarder. But still, that was his last kick in the pros, probably a year too late.
Yeah, that's really the way you make yourself infamous as a place kicker. There's very short list of the best of the best, like the Justin Tuckers of the world, that make themselves infamous by how great they are. All the other kickers make themselves infamous by stuff like that, like completely blowing a very makeable field goal with the season on the line like that. And like you said, he did it twice for two different teams. I don't know, going to Seattle after that, I don't know, you know, maybe they just took pity on him because they're like, oh, you poor guy. Come on, we'll give you a safe place to land after doing something like that. Or maybe there was something to that. Maybe there was a twin referee situation and he was playing, special agent or something. Vikings miss is definitely infamous. It's part of our personal history. We were both watching very different, distant, separate locations. We were both watching the same blowing of the season by Blair Walsh on our way to Vegas that day. My wife and I were we in the Dallas airport, or we were somewhere in between here, Memphis, and Vegas on our way to Vegas. I watched that. She didn't watch because she doesn't care, but I was watching it. We might have been right there in line to get on the plane to get to Vegas.
Yeah.
But I definitely watched it happen on the screen above, and it was like, ooh, that it was right there. It was, like you said, that camera shot makes it look like it was a 17-yard field goal, not 27.
It looked like an old extra point. Is
right.
What it looked like. And
he was right there.
And it had no chance.
No, just completely. It was in the Chris Brown Hall of Infamy for most terrible hooked field goal misses. Mm. Just took a complete left as soon as he kicked it. That was bad. Thankfully, Cass from Football Fan Rush Radio isn't on because she will be screaming right now, because that's part of the Vikings infamy of finding ways to blow seasons. They're good at it. And that's right up there. That's right at the top right there.
Yeah, we haven't found Gary Anderson yet, but he was a much higher quality kicker. He just chose the worst possible time to miss his only field goal of the season.
Right. That's the thing.
That was what made that one. That was 98. That's an infamous one as well.
It is.
Although to this day, I still say that is, I'm not, no rooting interest in here. That was one of the best, if not the best, NFC championship games I've ever seen. That was a wild game.
And not just because your favorite team, the Falcons, happened to be the beneficiary.
Not just because that was the Dirty Bird Falcons, you know, 14-2 going in to play the 15-1 Vikings. Find another season where you have those records.
Sure.
Going into a championship game. But no, tonight all the shine is on Blair Walsh.
Poor Blair Walsh.
Two seasons with missed field goals, costing his team an advancement in the playoffs, and then his next team, the playoffs.
I'm desperately trying to find that week 16 on my not week 16, but year 2016 on my spreadsheets to see where our picks landed for that game, because that's a gut-wrenching way to lose the game. But I also wanted to say it was significant for our picks, but I can't find that particular spreadsheet. So I'm gonna
that's possible. On that. If that spread was – well, obviously that would be up on the blog
well.
But, yeah, that one doesn't even have the same history of our picks the same way that we've had, you know, some other ones. I saw just as a side note, I saw something on Twitter today. It was one of those, you know, remembering moments in the NFL, and it was the one of the – I believe two whiteout games that we've ever had where the Patriots ran in the empty 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
After the Bills quit. Yeah. I think I came out on the wrong side of that one.
I believe you did.
I did. And the other one, of course, was the lateral.
Oh, well, I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay, moving on. Got three left here. This one's not so dark. This one is, boy, I can't decide. You're going to have to help me because I think we just have to put in this whole situation. Like, it's not just a game or a player. It's a situation. So I think we're going to finally have our first ever just universal inductee of an entire thing that happened and events that were set in motion, and then the things that happened on the field that caused us to see and witness during an absolutely just, I think we could all admit, bonkers time in this country. And we'll get into that. I'm going to give you the 2020 week 12 game between the Broncos and Saints.
All right, 2020 Week 12 Broncos Saints.
In what we will now call the Kendall Hinton game.
Oh, my God, that garbage. Ugh.
Or the game that never should have been played.
Correct.
Or positive as to ground zero of absolutely how crazy everything got during the COVID era. So you could put all of that together in a little capsule. Because the world had gone mad, you know, we were neck deep in it. You had problem where one of the quarterbacks, Jeff Driscoll, of the Broncos tested positive for COVID. He had COVID, and the whole quarterback room decided that they were going to take off all of their tracking material and basically put them in the corners of the room so that they could all study for the game. But unfortunately for them, they did this in a room with cameras. So when the camera footage is shown, you know, and people find out that all of the Broncos quarterbacks, all of them, had been within, you know, close range of Driscoll, all four of them were ruled out of the game, leaving the Broncos to start a wide receiver, Kendall Hinton, at quarterback in a game where he opposed Taysom Tebow and what might be one of the worst games ever. It was a 31-3 Broncos win. I will, if you need a barf bag, I go grab one, because here is Kendall Hinton's passing line.
Oh, no.
One for nine. for 13 yards and two picks. More picks than completions. So we are going to so if you want, again, if you just want a example that you could just put in a box and bury like a time capsule of what the life of everything was like with COVID protocols and contact tracing and should they play or shouldn't they play. You know, the four quarterbacks of note, Drew Lock, Blake Bortles, Brett Rippon, and Jeff Driscoll, in a game where we were like games were being canceled. We had postponements and you and I, and we are on the record. This game should have never been played because of the playoff implications. I mean, you had all the teams in the NFC, pointing at the Saints because they were all fighting for a playoff spot. Like, whoa, wait a minute. If you're giving them this is a gimme, right? They're just giving these guys a layup, and it caused just so much grief. And then the game itself, I remember watching because everybody had that morbid curiosity of what is this going to look like. And I remember the first quarter or so of the game, the Broncos defense was like really laying it on the Saints. And then that offense was so inept, just like last season, that the defense just was like, fuck this. And then they just stopped playing because there was no point. And the Saints just, whether off of turnovers or punts, they didn't even have to move the ball very far because I can tell you Taysom Tebow didn't play much better. This game was absolutely horrendous. No, it should never have been played. And right there is your perfect little encapsulation of life during that winter, fall winter of 2020 as we were dealing with the COVID pandemic. I have to put in, I call it the situation. Everything surrounding that game is now in the Hall of Infamy.
Very good entry. That snipered the great Kendall Hinton, who was going to go in by himself one day.
You can't put him in without the story of how he got there.
Sure.
Because it's not his fault.
No, he's infamous because of it, but it's not his fault at all.
Correct. He wasn't like Nathan Peterman, like who's supposed to be a quarterback and just is terrible. He was a wide receiver. I think he played quarterback, was it Wake Forest or something?
Right. That's the only reason they used him is because once upon a time he was considered a quarterback candidate at Wake Forest and he was so bad at it they made him a receiver.
That they switched him in positions because they knew he couldn't play quarterback. Right. And you had so many ins and outs and stories. I thought about just putting in Kendall Hinton, but I didn't want to pick on him because you realize that the stupidity, the players skirting the protocols. You know, no matter what your thoughts were of that era in our history, that's what it was. You had to abide by those rules, and they didn't. And, you know, thought they were going to be the smartest guys in the room by cheating the protocols, only to be so dumb to not realize they were under camera surveillance. It's beautiful. It's just like chef's kiss of stupidity. So I had to figure out a way to just put that whole thing in there. The game, the lead up to the game. We didn't even talk a little bit. I talked a little bit about the ramifications of it. And you and I both remember how mad the other teams in the NFC were that the Saints were being allowed to basically just get a free win when other teams were being forced to play games on Wednesdays or just not play games at all. It was why the whole season was nuts. It's amazing that any of the sports pulled things off, whether it was the bubble or what they did with MLB or playing in front of empty crowds. The whole thing, you know, if you just wanted here it is, the world gone mad. This game embodied all of it.
It really did. To give your voice a little rest and to fill in
Thank
a little
you,
time.
Dog. I'm still actually still getting over being sick.
Right. I can hear your voice going a little bit. I will read my entry for 2020 Week 12 off of our blog, previewing this game and everything else that was happening at the time. And it goes, welcome to history, ladies and germs. We have never seen a week in the NFL quite like this, where so many players will be out with coronavirus, and yet the league rages on with seemingly no concern.
Yeah.
Half the Ravens come down with the goop. Ah, keep kicking the can. We'll get that game played eventually. It's against the Steelers, so it has to be played. If those two teams didn't matter, that game would have long been postponed or canceled outright. And how about this Broncos game, where the whole QB room is inactive because one guy got COVID and all the other QBs weren't wearing masks when talking to him? Quick, someone tell Denver there's a pandemic going on. It was insane. It was just the way that these leagues had to sort of plow forward because there's so many millions and millions and billions at stake with the TV contracts and the stadium contracts. Just the show really did must go on, just like in when Benoit offed himself or when Owen Hart killed himself in the wrestling. Intelligentsia in the WWE said, well, you know, stuff happens. Gotta keep the show going. People paid their money for the tickets. Gotta keep going. The NFL and MLB and NBA just, you know, kept pushing forward and kept finding a way to get these games played and get these seasons in. They were not going to give in to the coronavirus if they could help it. They were going to keep going as much as they possibly could. And this week 12 was sort of the epitome of it. It was one of the worst weeks as far as players missing time with coronavirus or being close to people with coronavirus. It was bad, but it was a lot of missed games. There was a lot of postponements, a lot of pushing and kicking the can. So this was Thanksgiving week, week 12. Whatever the Thanksgiving night game was supposed to be got canceled. I think that was maybe the Baltimore Pittsburgh game. They moved it to Tuesday. The following Tuesday, the Sunday game with the Saints and Broncos. That one, yeah, you talked about how angry everybody was because the 8-2 Saints were basically getting a complete gimme, a complete bye. We were so not sure of how everything was going to turn out. It was one of those too good to be true situations, right?
Right.
So New Orleans winds up at the time we make our picks as 14.5 point road favorites against the 4-6 Broncos with this situation. So clearly on my write-up, we knew about what was happening. We just didn't know how bad it was going to be with Kendall Hinton in there. Yes, we both took the Saints. Yes, we both gave 14.5 points. Neither of us made it our lock of the week, however. So that just goes to show it was right. Such a gimme. It was so easy money to be made, but we didn't know how bad it was going to be. But I think we both had a feeling it was going to be really bad. We just didn't know it was going to be that bad.
Right. And it's just, you know, perfect time to just think back to, like, wow, we lived through that.
It feels like it was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does. Feels like another life, but that was not quite yet 3 years ago that we were going through that. So we're going to change gears here. Cause if COVID's not enough of a third rail for you, we'll go to something a little bit lighter. 9/11.
All right.
Changing gears. We go from COVID to 9/11 in a sort of tangential way, but 9/11, and this isn't going to be about the story of 9/11, but 9/11 played a big part in this next entry. And for this one, again, I had to double check the NFL Hall of Fame for this one. Not in the NFL Hall of Fame, probably never will be, but this one's not quite as poo-pooed by the NFL, but you still don't hear about it very much because of all the controversy that ended up coming out of it. I'm going to give you Pat Tillman. God damn great football player. Maybe not a Hall of Famer, but he was an excellent football player, Pat Tillman. But Pat Tillman, safety for the Arizona Cardinals, must have been a patriot at heart because he was so, and his brother as well, affected by the attacks on 9/11 that Tillman passed up a multi-million dollar contract that offseason for him and his brother to then join the Army. You don't hear about things like that happening. you know, but this is 22 years ago. It happened, and it was a big deal at the time. And, whoa, don't we know the NFL really played that up, and it was, you know, we talk about that marriage between the NFL and our armed forces, and here is one of their own, a great player, maybe not Hall of Fame tier, but a excellent player, giving it up to enlist and join the Army. The May of 2002. Just shocking. You know, it was very surprising. I think a lot of people were surprised by it. Flash forward almost 2 years. So it's not as much. Now it had become more of a footnote, like, oh, hey, you remember that, you know, remember Pat Tillman, you know, guy who left and went and joined the Army. Well, Pat Tillman gets killed in Afghanistan by what we are told, of course, by our media, was enemy fire. I mean, wow. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, giving the ultimate sacrifice for your country. Pat Tillman signs up after 9/11, him and his brother, and then his convoy is ambushed, and Pat Tillman is killed by enemy militia forces in Afghanistan. And boy, you would talk about the propaganda machine and the NFL. We were there, and how much of that happened. Boy, it turned out to all be a big load of bullshit, wouldn't you know?
Boy, howdy.
Yeah, you were waiting for that one, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Pat Tillman was killed not by the enemy. He was killed by own side. So in what it might be one of the worst NFL own goals, Pat Tillman ends up being shot and murdered, as it is suspected, because there was a lot of controversy about this, because first story is that they were killed from a distance. Later turns out through the media, when our media actually looked into things like this, and turned out he was killed not only by friendly fire, but from close range. And the whole thing was swept away. I mean, you know, we know how these things work, right? You have the 24-hour news cycle, and, you know, some new story or some new controversy is going to come up, and things are eventually just give them time, and they're just going to go away. And for a short period of time there, this was a huge deal. With a lot of, you know, controversy surrounding it, and the Army's all hush-hush about it, and Tillman may or may not have made some controversial statements about what he really thought about our involvement in the war as he was seeing it firsthand. Didn't matter, because not long after he made those comments, he was shot and murdered. So one of the highest profile, you know, military people we have, a guy who gave up millions of dollars to go play football, to go fight for his country after the horrific events of 9/11, ends up getting basically murdered by his own side. Fame and infamy all in one, I guess, you know, because that's what the best way we can say it, because this wasn't like some of them where it's, the guy did something stupid, or the guy, you know, did something horrible. This is a guy who was fighting for his country because he was so impacted by the events that we all went through on 9/11/2001, and ends up paying what ultimately ends up, you can't even call it the ultimate sacrifice, he gets killed by his own side.
That is, you know, the ultimate sacrifice, but it's not the way that they were portraying it.
No, and that's the other side of it, is how much we were getting about that. You know, it was Jessica Lynch. It was all of that.
Our hero has made the ultimate sacrifice, and he has done what none of us would have the guts to do. He has gone out and made the sacrifice fighting the enemy, and the enemy has brought him down, and we all need to pay the ultimate tribute to Pat Tillman because he has done what all of us should have done, but he's... Wait, what happened? Oh, okay, well, we're not going to talk about that again. We're just going to move on. Nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah, and it was, and then this has all those aspects. This is movie stuff going on now with the cover up and the investigation. To this day, and I don't know why. I'm surprised we haven't. Where's the movie about this? Because this is ripe for how much behind the scenes nastiness was going on here.
I think it's too nasty to make a movie because
You're talking, yeah, because you're talking about, bloody nose on the bloody nose on the Army, possibly on the NFL,
Pat Tillman's family probably doesn't want to give up the rights to this story. No,
They were just outright lied to. This whole thing, and anybody who, wants more than what we're going to give you in 10 minutes on something like this, look into it. It's worse than I'm describing.
Yeah, there's layers to that onion, and it's a lot of them.
Right. But I had to put this one in. I've had this one on the list for a long time. This is another one where I can't believe it was like, man, we haven't done this one yet. Because this is one of those big ones, and it's not funny or it's not tongue-in-cheek, but it really does point to what we talk about, which is fame and infamy. Tillman had the fame. Like I said, excellent football player. And that goes without saying. They retired his number, obviously. They put him on the Ring of Honor, but he was an actual good football player. He was a solid football player, played his position very well. Probably was an upstanding citizen, very patriotic, and paid for it with his life. And it's sad as well.
Very sad. The NFL, every now and then, use the image of Pat Tillman, but they don't go overboard because I think they know they can't. They can't really get too deep into pushing Pat Tillman up to the heavens and praising him because then people start looking into, oh, wow, what a great man. What a great story. I wonder what happened there. And then if you do that and you do the bare minimum of research, you go to his Wikipedia page, and right there in the second paragraph of his Wikipedia page, it says, the family and other critics alleged that the Department of Defense delayed the disclosure of his killing until weeks after Tillman's memorial service out of a desire to protect the image of the U.S. military. And it's oh, fuck. What the fuck is going on with this? Not good. It's very messy. Like I said, there's plenty of layers to peel on that onion. I'm reading the Wikipedia, I didn't know that they promoted him from specialist to corporal posthumously. So they kept pushing him up and praising him as the layers got peeled.
Yeah,
because
it took time. It was a while from the time of his death when it was reported, and we go through all the rah-rah patriotism, and he's probably on every recruiting poster out there. And, be patriotic. Be like Pat Tillman. He gave it all up. He gave up an NFL contract, and then, he was murdered by his own guys at close range.
Gave it up to be killed by his own troop. And they gave him a Silver Star posthumously. They gave him a Purple Heart. All of this stuff all this stuff comes out about him. Let's just keep piling awards on him and meritorious service and all this. Let's just keep praising him and propping him up so that people don't really want to go investigate and find out exactly what happened here.
Right.
And it is also a great example of real journalism and digging in and actually finding out the truth of things, which is what people used to do in journalism.
We don't do that anymore. That does not happen anymore. okay. Last one. This one's got it all. This is going to have everything and then some. We're talking about PED use. We're talking about grievous injuries. We're talking about closet homosexuality and hard drug use. Those are things that the NFL doesn't like.
Yeah,
and that is why our final entry into this year's Hall of Infamy is 2003's ESPN Playmakers. Playmakers was a show that ESPN, of course, they could not get the approval to use the actual league and its likeness. It was a fictional league, and ESPN made a show about it and aired from August through November of 2003. This show made multiple top 10 lists that year for TV shows. It was on lists with The Wire for how good the show was. And ESPN was producing this. That tells you something about how different ESPN is now versus then, that ESPN could produce something like this. The American Film Institute gave this Best Drama of the Year award. And the NFL told ESPN, you need to cut that shit out right now. The ESPN will come right out and tell you that, yes, we canceled this because of the money and our partnership with the NFL. But this was meant to be a hard look into the life of a pro football team. And in 2003, 20 years ago, they were tackling issues of paralyzation, closeted gay players, PED use. I mean, all those things that those were all in what only ended up being an 11-episode run that won multiple awards and, like I said, was on almost every top 10 list of drama shows for that TV season. And the NFL is like, now you guys are hitting a little too close to home here. And they had the whole thing shut down. So our final entry gets a continuous loop of all 11 episodes. So you can see all about the ins and outs and comings of goings of these players and coaches and all those little behind the scenes things that the NFL just does not want you to know about. Canceling it, they almost admitted that this is what was happening, but that's fine. I give them the credit first for having the guts to even make something like this, and then second, you got to give them the crap for caving. But hey, it's all about the money, and they canceled what was one of their only and probably best scripted dramas. ESPN, folks, 20 years ago, actually had a scripted cable dramatic show that was winning awards as the best show on TV or one of the best shows on TV, and nobody remembers it, but we remember.
ESPN. It's all about the money.
That's right.
It's all about the money.
They now live forever in the Hall of Infamy, ESPN Playmakers.
I don't remember because I didn't watch it at the time, not out of any kind of protest, but
sure.
Just because it's the middle of the football season. There's so much real football to watch. But I would have got around to, you know, getting it to, you know, on demand or something like that. I would have checked it out at some point. But I definitely remember all the heat and the controversy around it. I just saw it on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck Elon Musk is calling it these days. That because this is the 20-year anniversary of the show, so it's getting a little publicity, not a whole lot, of course. You're not going to get any major media publicity behind it because nobody wants to talk about it because, as you said, it hit a little too close to home for some of those people.
Imagine canceling, outside of football, ESPN's highest-rated show.
Yes.
And the NFL said, you cut that shit out right now. And they were like, okay, yes, Massa. I mean,
Whatever you say, NASA.
Yes, right.
It's their biggest business partner. It's understandable that they had to cave. It's almost a shock that they got it on the air in the first place.
I almost did a tandem here with Playmakers, and then around that same time would have been Oliver Stone's Any Given Sunday, which also was rejected from getting NFL use, and they had to use fictional teams for very much the same reason, because that was a movie dealing with, concussions and all those sides of the thing as well. And then when you actually physically have representations of concussions shown in the movie, and the NFL's like, no, we're not stamping that, and we're not stamping this Playmakers thing. So I almost put those in together, but I was like, no, this Playmakers one where the Shield just says, we are going to crush you, and we're going to make you, you got to choose this money or that money. That is very NFL.
Absolutely. Steaming Willie Beeman, shout out. Keep the girl screaming.
Great.
I liked it very much. The Inches We Need are all around. It's a movie I've actually seen, too, so
good.
Right. It had to be big time if I actually sat down and watched it. Playmakers got a lot of publicity at the time for what it was portraying and what it was.
Yeah.
If they would have actually had NFL teams, it would have been even bigger of a blockbuster. But, like you said, the NFL's just, no, we're not going to approve that at all. So it depicted, I'm reading the Wikipedia for that as well, it depicted the lives of the Cougars, a fictional professional team in an unidentified city.
Was Zach Wilson on that team?
Little before his time, just a bit.
Basically, what you just said, it. This show was probably ahead of its time.
Yeah, sure. Like you said, award winning, and had Omar Gooding in it, so he's just trying to find any great show to get on. You got The Wire, you got this.
Yeah.
It really was. I'm reading some of the episode descriptions too, and it's like, ooh, wow, they were getting into it. There's surprise pregnancies that they're getting in. The truth about certain guys' crimes that they were committing. Episode 9 is the one that you were talking about, where one of the players makes an attempt to dodge a rumor that one of the players is gay by asking a girl to marry him. So he was getting a beard. We were getting, a TV show about a guy, getting a beard to cover himself up to make it seem like he's straight. So that's certainly some advanced, script writing. We weren't seeing anything about that, at the time. But his partner, had enough and outed him to the team.
Right.
this sounds like a show I'd want to watch.
This was the too soon. Probably
way ahead of its
play,
time.
Yeah, but now I don't know if it plays as good, because you would be like, well, we got the regular league. What do we need this for?
We still don't have, closeted players getting outed. It would still play.
No. We have the catfish thing with Manti Te'o.
Right.
We
have some things, but we still. There's still a lot of things that could be covered in a fictional show about a sports league, not just the NFL, but they all have secrets and issues that they could be delved into. And if we could ever give the writers what they're asking for and get them back writing, then maybe we could have somebody put out a show that would depict some of these things.
But so there it is. So to recap, we've got our newest entrants. We've got Javon Belcher, Blair Walsh, The Game That Never Should Have Been Played, and your boy Kendall Hinton, Pat Tillman, and ESPN's Playmakers. I'm very proud of this class.
That is a stacked class. That is a fat class of entrants. We're still hitting home runs. However many years we've been doing this, we still find a way to pop each other with some big-time Hall of Infamy lists, and that's right up there. I kind of memory hole Pat Tillman, and he's not on my list anywhere either. And I not that I forgot about him, but it's just like Jevon Belcher, it's one of those things where I know about it in the back of my mind, but I don't want to think about it because it's so icky. It's just so grimy
yeah,
to even think about.
There's that aspect to it for sure.
it's just so ick. but no, that's a hell of a list and very, very good job. Very well done by you and well worth the wait that we had to go through 2 weeks, it felt like, to wait to get this show on the air.
Yeah, that was the hard part was I was so ready. When the first night when I was sick, I couldn't have done it. But that first night when we were ready to go and I had everything ready, I was just like, man, this is going to be great. And I had it all prepared and, you know, I'm already saying what I'm going to talk about. And you still got a lot of that tonight, but I think it was after like, okay, it didn't work. Okay, now we just got to do this. I'm glad we got it in and I'm glad Blog Talk Radio is working again. And, yeah,
you can only hope the podcast version actually comes through when we try to download.
Yeah, well, that part too. But this one was fun because I was excited for. I get up for these, and now I'm on the clock for baseball. Now, don't worry, my list is ready.
I'm sure it is.
You know, I'm adding stuff. I am already adding notes, and I've already got honors and dishonors stuff in my phone.
Wow.
Yeah, from some of this off-season stuff, I've already got notes to myself about some of the things that are going on here off-season. So, I, you know, honors and dishonors doesn't have to happen from week one to week 16. We've hammered people on some off-season things before. And I'm ready to get some football going.
I think we're all ready for some real football. We got a couple more weeks of preseason to get through first, but I think we're all ready for the season to start.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready. Although, a brief fantasy baseball note. We haven't had a fantasy baseball note on this show in a long time.
Uh-huh.
You'll be blown away when you hear this. We're 2 points out of the money right now.
Damn, okay.
On our fantasy team. 2 points. Don't ask me how, because we traded most of our best players. But those guys who we still have, they're scrappy, and or as happened last year, they're having some really nice second halves.
I've been looking at this Cary Carpenter kid just keep smashing the ball, and I'm like, I remember when you drafted, I'm like, who?
$2.
Yeah. $2 Cary Carpenter.
$2 Cary Carpenter. Tristan Casas is turning himself around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's guys, but every time I look up, you know, and every once a week, Jose Siri hits 2 bombs.
Of course.
Yeah. But it also helps. George Kirby, Logan Allen, Pablo Lopez, those guys have been, they're pulling their weight.
No, we always work hard to get the best pitching that we can for the discount price. It's the bats that's the problem. The bats have to come through for us.
Right. Right. No, but you're right. Cary Carpenter, 16 bombs on the season.
Where'd that come from? Jeez,
he missed a good chunk of time with an injury in the first half. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I appreciate that you see him hitting bombs and going, oh, hey, yeah, it's Jason's guy.
Yeah, because I keep getting ready and thinking about picking him up for my team. And then I go, well, no, that'll stop his streak. So I don't want to do that.
Do it.
Yeah, Casas, of course, is turning around as I cut him after his terrible first month of the year.
Good job.
Yeah, that's the only reason he's turning it around.
He hit his 20th home run tonight.
Did not see that coming after that start to the season he had. So, yeah.
No, he was he's doing Marcus Semien from last year now. So,
oh.
He was hitting, I don't know. He was under 200 for most of the first half. And when you do that, when you're under 200 for most of the first half of the season and you're still at this – and now it's August and you're hitting 255, you're doing something.
Yeah, you've been raking to get it up that
high. Yeah, when you can raise your average 60, 70 points over a – you know, with this many at-bats already in, you're doing okay. And, I've been enjoying the performances. I don't have any – anticipation or hope of getting money, but then I look up and I'm like, oh, we're 2 points out of the money.
Hey, it could happen. You could have. So, these guys stay hot.
Yeah. We did it last year. We did it last year by not making any moves, actually, because I was like, well, our team is just going to play better. And how often do you do that with teams? You know, how long have the Yankees been saying that this season? We're just going to be better. Yeah.
Our guys are just going to get healthy and they're just going to do better.
Yeah, it's easy. No, it's not always easy.
No, you can hope that that happens, but sometimes for the whole season, your whole team is
struggling.
And I've been enjoying this little second half that the Cubs are putting together.
I'm sure you are. Seeing Christopher Morel get stripped naked after hitting a walk-off last night, I'm sure it was very enjoyable.
That thing was a laser beam that he hit out of the stadium last night.
Yeah, but we talked a little bit about him. Everything he hits is pretty much a laser.
Yeah, if he hits it, it's going a long way.
It's getting hit hard. He's got exit velo going for him. As the kids call it these
days.
Those
are my baseball notes anyways. But that waited for the after show, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to do my usual honor here of going into my phone and erasing the notes from my Hall of Infamy candidates. And
I wouldn't do that so soon. It's Blog Talk Radio. We might have to do the show over. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, the funny thing is when I get rid of the five from tonight, I still have five in my phone.
Okay.
So I can do 2025 right now. Let's go.
Here we go. After show, special bonus episode. We're doing the 2025
Hall of Infamy. I can definitely tell you that the five that are left in my phone don't kind of – they don't have the heft of this one tonight. Because tonight I brought the big guns tonight.
Pat Tillman will be proud.
Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. I shouldn't.
Javon Belcher would also be proud of you bringing
that. Pat Tillman would not like that, and neither would Javon Belcher.
They might appreciate it. They might. You never know. We got to talk to him in the afterlife.
In the afterlife,
open
the
after show.
When Sean Taylor's ghost and maybe that's. I still think that's what their tribute was. They were putting in. They made a statue of his ghost. And they put in. That's basically our Hall of Infamy exhibit. They stole.
Pretty much. Yet another shining example of the idiocy of Dan Snyder.
So what are the Vegas odds that Washington changes their name back to Redskins? Because seems to be some groundswell for this.
There's always going to be a huge groundswell for Cleveland Indians and Washington Redskins because there's that huge segment of the population that thinks everything should stay the way it was, no matter what people feel about it.
Well, no, there is some, just this last few days, there is a Native American group lobbying the league to change the name back.
Is that the same group that Dan Snyder used to parade out all the time?
I don't think you want to have
got support for the Redskin name.
Daniel Snyder at this point. But I just think it's funny that's actually – I don't know. But I haven't heard it so much about Cleveland. That seems to be done. But, yeah, it's funny. As soon as the new owner comes in, we're going to change the name. And everyone's like, well, hey, I've got one here. And you start seeing the joke memes about how the computer-generated – what the new computer-generated helmet could look like, you know.
No, I don't think they're going back to that. I think that's – pretty much established that name is like the top of the racist tropes. You know, Indian and Braves, and those can almost be seen as innocent compared to Redskin, which is literally describing what you do to someone when you scalp them. So no, that's not coming back. But no, there's always going to be that segment that wants to go back to what it was before because that's what they grew up with, and that's how they think it needs to be all the time, no matter what the sensibilities would be. No, anytime I see anyone from Cleveland talking on social media about the Guardians, it's similar that they just, well, they're the Indians, and that's what I'm going to call them no matter what. It's just a better name.
So. No, I get that. I mean, we do that, right, with Sears Tower?
Yes. Whatever it was when we grew up, that's what it needs to be.
We're cranky and crotchety when it comes to our landmarks and changes of names of stadiums and things. I get that part.
Hell, I still call it Comiskey Park, so yeah, I understand.
Yeah, me too. You don't call it Guaranteed Rate or whatever?
U.S. Cellular, no.
The The Cell.
No, I didn't call it any of those things. Where are you going tonight, Dre? I'm going to Kaminsky Park. I'm going to watch the White Sox. That's just what they, that's what you do. You're never going to get me to call it anything else. When you talk about the original Kaminsky and the feeling that I got the first game I ever went to when I was like, what, 6, 7 years old or something.
Yeah, that's the same for me and Wrigley.
Sure, yeah. The grass and how green it was and how wide it was, and I'd never seen anything like that at the time. And also that smell, there's nothing at all that will ever beat that combination of hot dogs and grilled onions and beer that I smelled when I walked into Kaminsky Park that first time. It's like intoxicating.
Yeah.
And you can't beat it. So that's
like
always
how you'll never,
my memory.
Tyler, you'll never remember the smell of the subway.
In Chicago?
Yeah, where it's urine and maple syrup. It's the best way I can describe the smell in the subway.
I've never put those two things together.
But you know right now, if you close your eyes and you sniff, like, you could probably remember that smell.
The urine, absolutely. I don't know about the maple syrup part, but yeah, I can definitely
there
smell
was
the piss down
this,
there.
There was always this sweet smell in the subway stations mixed with urine.
Maybe all of our bums have diabetes or something. Maybe that's what the sweet part is. But the urine, definitely. The stale urine smell in the Chicago subways is absolutely prevalent.
It's a thing.
No, definitely. Everybody knows that smell. Yeah. So, yeah, excellent Hall of Infamy class. Some guys that one guy was on my list, and a couple of those other guys should have been. I don't even know how I overlooked Pat Tillman all those years. And Blair Walsh, as soon as I heard that clip when you had me play, it was like, oh, God, that game. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was terrible. I think I finally found the blog post about it. So NFL Wild Card 2016, Seahawks were a 5-point road favorite at Minnesota, despite having a worse record. And we both had Seattle to cover, and that wasn't the case.
They didn't.
But they did win the game because of Blair.
So we both took the L on that one.
We did. I'm trying to remember why Seattle would be favored that heavily as a road favorite. They had a worse record than Minnesota. They were 10-6. The Vikings were 11-5. They had to have something. Wasn't there a Minnesota quarterback situation or injury or something? I think was Teddy Bridgewater the starter and he got hurt and somebody else had to start, or somebody else was the starter? There's another. See, now I'm going down the memory hole. There's a different quarterback, different black quarterback somewhere involved in that mix that I think wound up starting because Bridgewater was hurt, but I can't remember his name. It was Anthony something, Richardson or something. But I think that's the reason. I think the Vikings starting quarterback was hurt and they had to start somebody else who clearly wasn't up to the task, and as evidenced by the fact that they scored 9 points. But they still could have won the game if Blair Walsh would have straightened out a 27-yard field goal attempt. Yeah, I definitely remember that. That part of the game, those details, I definitely remember.
That whole game was
crazy.
That whole game was just batshit insane.
And I was definitely watching while traveling, and so were you. But we were coming from very different places. But we were both meeting up in Vegas to start that great Vegas trip that we had. It was so much fun, and I was just talking to my wife about we should plan something like that again. And I was also talking about the Alaskan cruise that we keep wanting to plan, and I know that you definitely want to be a part of that if we ever finally take that trip. So there's still
my wife knows that's on the books for 50. Like that's what I need.
Okay, yeah, we can point towards that in three short years. We're rushing up to it, aren't we? Whew.
It's coming.
A big 5-0.
That was Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay,
Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback in that game all the way through the end.
But I don't know if he was a starter that year. I think he might have had to play that game because a starter got hurt maybe the week before or something.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a reason they're 5-point dogs. And I think that was the reason. I think he's the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember the exact story about what was behind that or who would have even been their starter.
Yeah.
Wasn't that when Teddy Bridgewater was still – was that
possibly
before he broke his leg?
It was definitely before that. But yeah, there's got to be a reason. I don't know what it was, but there's got to be a reason why they were such heavy home dogs.
Right.
Either that or maybe the running back, maybe Adrian Peterson was hurt or something, but there's some reason behind that. I think I'm pretty sure the reason was a Vikings injury going into that game. I just don't remember what or who. That was a very weird weekend. I'm looking at the other game.
Yeah, the next game I remember, we got to the airport, and that's when we watched Washington Green Bay was the next game mm-hmm. that day.
Whatever point it was that we got in the cab to start heading toward a hotel, the Potato Skins were looking pretty good, and Kirk Cousins was lighting up the Packers, and it was looking like they were going to go on and get that done.
You like that?
And then by the time we made it to the hotel, the Packers were destroying them, and Aaron Rodgers was going crazy, and the crowd, the Green Bay fans, the Packer fans in Washington were actually chanting, "We like that," at Kirk Cousins right back at him. It turned quickly for old Kirk.
Oh, Kirk Cousins.
But it was such a wild playoff weekend, because that Washington-Green Bay game was the only game in which the home team was favored, and Washington was favored by 1 point. All the other games were – it was the Chiefs and Houston – in the wonderful Saturday 4:30 p.m. Wild card opener that the Texans are known for. And the Chiefs were favored over Houston in that one. Then the Saturday night game was Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Steelers were favored, and I'm pretty sure that's got to be the
worst game of all time.
The game that made us hate football, yeah.
Yes.
The Antonio Brown or A.J. Brown, or wait
yeah.
a minute, the Pac-Man Jones giving
was that,
giving
that was the
Grammy.
That was the Grammy game.
Yes.
The A.J. McCarron game.
Yeah. Where he won the game. He did everything
he won the game. A.J. McCarron should have a playoff win under his belt.
Led the game-winning drive to give the Bengals the lead. And all the Bengals D had to do was hold Ben Roethlisberger out of the out of field goal range, and they couldn't do it.
Well, they gave him, 50 penalty yards on that drive?
Man, but there should be a Grammy for that acting, for one of those penalties. Antonio Brown, man, he was acting. He should get a Grammy. Yeah. How about that for a historic playoff weekend with all of that going on? Because that does that have a part of Antonio Brown's Grammy? Yeah, that's been inducted, and now Blair Walsh has been inducted. So two of the four games of that Wild Card Weekend have already been inducted into the Hall of Infamy. That is pretty historic right there.
So we got Blair. Yeah. Now we are 3 weeks from tonight, from the start of the NFL season.
Already.
I know.
Thanks to the connection issues, we're doing this show a lot later in August than we normally would.
We would have normally done this show 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was a schedule conflict with you, and then there was I was sick, and then two tries and attempted failures of getting the site to work. So, yeah, this is definitely a little late for us. Normally around now we'd be doing our sort of summer wrap-up, like getting through the end of it. That this kind of ends up being all of that.
Yeah, because I don't know if we're going to be able to get another show in before the season preview show. We might, but I don't know if we're going to be able to.
Right. So are we looking at – because what, season kicks off on the 7th, right? Yes.
Okay, so we're looking at the Memorial – Labor Day, somewhere after that for our – season
right.
preview, unless
and
we don't do it
and
before.
You're bowling on Wednesdays, right?
So my Wednesday nights are off limits, right?
So I'm guessing that's that Tuesday night, September 5th. That's our NFL preview.
The whole thing, the 2-hour bonanza.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you prefer to do the split show where we do AFC one night and then AFC the next night? Or did you just want to try it? Because we're going to go long no matter what we do.
That's true. I don't know if I have a preference. I can do both. We've done it before where we split it up into two nights.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can do the whole ball of wax on that Tuesday.
Yeah, just the way my work schedule, because I'm going to be working Sunday and Monday, and then Tuesday is my day off. And then, so that's probably for me, just like, yeah, let's just 2-hour show plus after show. We can bang that out and do our preview show and make our first pick.
That's right. It's coming up.
It's, wow. And I've got so much stuff going on between now and then. We have vacation this weekend, and then the kids start school, then it's Labor Day, and boom, we're doing football.
Right. By the way, I've accidentally made my first pick of the football season already. I've made my first bet on it completely by accident.
Was it the Ravens?
No, that would make sense, wouldn't it? No, what happened was I was not reading and going too fast, and I was getting excited over one of the sports books I belong to sending me a bet and win a bonus bet offer for
oh, sure.
Football preseason. So I was rushing through looking at the schedule and decide on, oh, wait, here's Detroit and Kansas City, and why is Detroit such a big underdog? You know they're going to play hard in the preseason, and they're probably going to win that game. Let me make that bet right now.
And you bet it, it was regular season.
And after I submitted it, I realized that, oh, wait, that's week one of the regular season. Oops.
Not quite so sure how we ended up with Detroit and Kansas City for our first game, but okay.
No, it's been discussed a little bit from writers that I read that's a curious decision. You have a lot of potential big-time matchups with Kansas City that they passed over in order to go with the, you know, the upstart, the team that's going to – that, of course, has the preseason darling award that everybody's going to hype up. And, oh, how about those Detroit Lions? They're going to be
right there.
What about
the – yeah, they're the what-about team this year, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's basically it. It's just giving them their props as to be the hot team, and they think they're going to be able to hold their own and give a good show and keep that rating. Now, if they get blown out, then you kind of shrug your shoulders. Oh, well, I guess they weren't what we thought they were. But yeah, we'll find out. And I've already got my money on the line. I almost feel like I'm obligated to pick them, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes when it gets.
You don't have to pick them because you accidentally bet on them.
I don't, but I might anyway. Or I might go against it and guarantee that I win the bet by picking against them when I make the pick. I don't know how I'm going to go yet. Well, we got weeks. We got weeks to
no,
figure
I figure
it out.
If you're making a week one bet with anybody, it's the Ravens. Cause that's,
right.
Right? That, I mean.
that would be the move for either one of us. Certainly.
Are we just forever going to lock the Ravens week one? And it's just like, what's the point? We should just start our locks contest week two from now on. Until they prove it, because they're playing Houston.
Oh my God!
Yeah, in Baltimore.
Oh dear. I know they're still undefeated in preseason.
Yeah, I saw that
years.
They won. They won last week. The okay, but hey, what's that? 23 straight preseason games.
It's crazy.
So even to know the number, I guess, is something. But it's preseason.
It is, but it kind of underscores what we've been talking about, is nobody gets prepared like John Harbaugh and the Ravens.
No, nobody is more ready to play week one than the Ravens. And the healthy Lamar Jackson, I think that's the other side of it.
Right, because get back to us in December, how good the Ravens
right.
are going to be.
Yeah, ask me how the Ravens are doing by week eight when Lamar's right. falling apart. But week one, oh yeah, he'll probably throw four touchdowns and he'll be the big darling of the league for the first few weeks, and he'll have all the MVP talk, and then he'll just, you know, start to wear down. The season will start to catch up to him, or he'll get hurt. So,
now, are we sure Dr. Lamar is ready to go? Have we talked to him and cleared him?
Well, the check cleared, I'm guessing, so I think he's okay.
Oh, he's fine now?
His self-funded HMO program apparently is fine.
doesn't have to go through GoFundMe to get his funds. That's good to know.
Dr. Lamar, MD, has cleared himself for play.
Good, good, good for him, and good for the Ravens.
I'm excited. I figured out this year they added NFL Red Zone to the NFL app.
Ah.
So I signed up for the season for the NFL Plus app or whatever it is, and it was $100 for the whole season, right?
Yep.
Well, normally I will subscribe to a paid TV service that has NFL Red Zone, and those have gotten to the point now where those are $60-$70 a month.
Right. You might as well just get cable again.
Right. So I just signed up for the whole season of this NFL Plus, and now I can watch all the game replays. I can watch their condensed games. You can get the all 22s. So I'm going to have some fun playing around with that when we get into the season, because even if I'm missing the games, I can actually watch what they call the condensed game.
Sure.
Which is just like that 30-minute chopped up version of the game, because there's going to be a couple of weekends this year where I'm just not going to be around at all. A couple of those I'm going to be on vacation. One of those I'm going to be down by you.
Right.
So I'll just have to hand you my picks on that Saturday, but we'll have to figure something out. That's like I said, that's the 1 week. It's not so much that week, because I could still technically do like a Thursday night show before we head on to Florida. It's that next week where I'm nowhere.
So the week after you come back from Florida?
No, it's the week we're in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Because we're actually we're leaving on the 20th of October. And we won't get home until the 29th. So it's that whole week in the middle, that last full week of October where I'm in Florida. Unless we figure out a time for, like you say, hey, here's when the show's going to be, and I just do like a quick call in and give you my picks, I can do that too.
Well, we'll definitely figure something out. We always do.
But we always find a way.
My schedule is going to be up in the air with the whole college football thing.
Right.
I don't know where I know about the six home games for the Memphis Tigers that I assume I'll be trusted to do.
Right.
What I don't know is the other games in Arkansas State and University of Mississippi, if they're going to be asking me to fill those spots as well, because I don't know what their coverage looks like for those schools, that they may ask me to go do those as well.
Right.
So,
October 21, that's the only one you got to have clear.
you already checked that they're on the road that weekend, so
right.
I won't be I won't have to worry about that. And yeah, if they ask me for any of those either one of those other schools that weekend, I'll have to say I'm not available. That's just how it is. That's no problem at all. But yeah, I'm excited for that coming up personally, for everything that's going down.
Yeah,
that.
You're gonna get paid to watch football. I mean, it's Memphis Tigers football, but you still get paid to watch.
I mean, most other college football isn't much better. The quality of college football is pretty dismal unless it's, you know, Alabama or a few other schools. So,
right.
I'm not watching for the quality. I'm watching because they're paying me to document what's going on. The app that they're putting out is sort of new, and we're futzing around with it and playing with it, and they got everybody doing test games, and basically they said, please try to break the app. We're not ready to give you, you know, full test games where you're getting paid. They're going to pay us for the test game, the one test game before the season starts. So that's even more awesome, is they're going to actually pay us before we even get out to the stadium. But they're not ready to do that yet. But what they have us doing is going on, you know, to the app and doing test games, and they call it, please try to break the app. Please do whatever you can on this app. Push all the buttons, see what works, see what doesn't, because that's the only way they're going to know what bugs are there and what needs to be fixed, you know, before the actual season starts. So I've been doing that. I've been mashing the buttons and futzing around. I've actually found a couple of things wrong and emailed them and let them know. So it's a big collaborative effort, and it's definitely new. No one's doing it. And the guys that are in charge of it, there's three of them, and they're all really enthusiastic, and you know, they're young, and you can tell that this is their first time, you know, sort of being in charge of something, and it's fun. It's fun to be on the ground floor of something that feels like it's got the potential to be you know, something big. And they say, hey, we admit we're doing this now because nobody else is. Now when you know somebody else, next gen stats or whatever, figures out how to do what they're doing on the scale of college football, then they'll take over and we we'll be out in the dust. But until they do, they haven't done it yet. Nobody else can figure out how to keep up with college. I don't know why, but no one else is keeping up with college football play by play on these apps. And so that's why they're doing it, because no one else is doing it. And we're going to be on the ground floor of that. So I'm very interested, very excited.
That's good. The other, this obviously would mostly be for the podcast listeners to our show. You are probably aware that at Cute Factor number 2, my son is a YouTuber. Did you know that?
I did. I'm one of his followers.
Oh, well, good. My wife has been trying to get him his 100th subscriber before his birthday. And he's at 98. Would you believe that? So she's on this drive, and he's gone up like 20 today. So, yeah, he just opens up Pokemon cards, and it's what he loves to do. So, Poke Grant, P-O-K-E, Poke Grant, Poke Grant. Anybody listening, toss my son a subscribe. You'll appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you got kids. It's good kid content.
Yeah, it's kind of makes me smile that you get to, you know, you start the podcast with me, and then you, before he even exists, and then he comes along, and now he's got the bug and wants to do his own content and do what he does. So that's great. You know, you get your voice out there. Whatever you do to find your own voice,
well,
and find your
I've
own way.
I have thought about, because it would not be hard, because I edit all of his videos. It's not hard. I mean, I've been doing it now. What is he up to? 38. So I've done this almost 40 times for him now. And it's, you know, I can knock something out. Usually if I don't have to do a lot of, like this last one, I had to do a lot of color correcting and stuff, which was not as much fun. Cause our cameras messed up and whatever, it happens. I've thought about taking all of our podcasts and downloading them, cause we have access to download them, and chopping some stuff up and putting, you know, getting another channel out there for us. I could easily put a, you know, best of and those types of things out there. Cause all you need is some, you know, limited picture content to put up on the screen or some words or something. So we just don't have a black screen, but you can put up an audio podcast on YouTube with just a picture background, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So always an opportunity there for us to expand our platform reach.
That sounds like a lot of work.
not as hard as you think.
Huh. Well, if you want to take on that project, go for it.
Yeah. I will say that with my son's videos, I am basically, I'm normally working with 20 minutes of raw footage and trying to cut that down to 8 to 12. We are putting out 2 hours, sometimes 3 of content.
Right. Yes. That's a lot to comb through.
That's not as easy.
But the other thing I would think about myself thinking about that, those like preview of weeks of football podcast, I don't think you have to go through those at all. Like I don't know if there's any point in putting those out, because there's zero value, I would think, in 2015 week 12.
There's really no reason that I would ever go back and chop up anything from, you know, week 9 from the 2018 season. Now, there could be good material in those episodes.
There are nuggets in pretty much every show that would be interesting, but that's a lot to go through.
I believe when I looked the last time on Blog Talk Radio, it said over 800 hours.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, so... I don't know how you would do it or comb through it, but if you want to, that's up to you.
It would be easier to start with the shows that are more universal, and that would be Halls of Infamy, award mm-hmm. shows, things like that. That would actually not be that hard. Pull those and put those up, because I think those have more replay ability.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I go back and listen to those shows quite often.
Yeah, I definitely think there would be an audience to hear those particular shows, as opposed to like season, week one,
yeah.
preview shows or something like that.
Right. Now, if I had more time to myself and could do it, like even when we do like a season preview or those types of things, those are things that you can throw up there, but that you got to have a following for, that somebody's going to catch it, because once the shelf life expires, there's
right.
really no reason to go back to it. So, but just a thought, I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
There's definitely some best of material out there from what we do that we could put together.
And similar to our motivation of starting the podcast in the first place, there's a lot worse content out there. Like, we could put some of our stuff up there, and it's already better than a lot of the stuff that's out there. So,
yeah. And we're better at this now than we were when we started.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I want to go back and listen to the first year of podcast or the second year. Oh my goodness.
I mean, I even go back. It's funny, because I was looking today, because I was at work and I was bored, but I was talking about my son with what he's doing. He's only been doing it for 6 months. And I go back and I look at his first couple of videos to what he's been producing, where he's not producing, I'm producing, but he's the one on camera. He's not directed. There's no directing going on. His first couple of videos, there was a little bit more of like, okay, what are you going to say? Tell me what you're going to say. Okay. All right. Let's record that. And then he would start and it would be terrible. Okay. Well, let's stop. Start over. He doesn't do any of that anymore. It's just I put the cameras up for him, and I leave the room. Or I go sit on the couch, and I just let him record and just be himself. And I think about, like, when we started doing this show, how, pinched for time we were and how nervous we were. And now it's just like, oh, I've got to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go crank out 2 hours.
No, anything with reps, you get better at it, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, so... No, I love doing this, and he loves doing that, and I love helping him out with it. So it's a lot of fun.
Before we go, I did want to put forth a couple of we talked a little bit about sound drops from other parts of sports that we are both big fans of. So I went out and did the work.
You are, I am.
I've got no way of introducing it or dropping it in smoothly, so I just let you know that I do have a couple of those drops that we talked about. So here we go.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
That is right, I did it! That's another five! Are you kidding me?
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Get it right.
That's awesome. It's all time right there.
Great Pete Weber. Asking the universal question that everyone should ask when they do something great.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah.
Oh, so I had a thought.
Yeah.
Because we have so many great drops, right? That I was almost thinking of a proposal. I mean, you could think about this one, because we could just look at the drops and figure it out. But I was thinking that instead of just what we were doing last year, which I loved our recap format, was that we theme our recap format to our drops. So instead of, best of the week, worst of the week, all of that, we already have the what the fuck was that, right? We have that
right.
drop.
Right.
You have What happened? You know, you have all of these. Hey, you know what? Best of the week, MVP of the week. You just played it.
Who do you think you are? Oh, okay.
The he is him. So if you, or, you know, boy howdy, you know. So it was almost like,
who do you think you are? I am.
So it's almost like, hey, you look at some of these drops. I bet you could take each one of the awards that we give out on the weekly basis, and there's a drop for it.
You're probably right about that. We do have plenty of selections to go from.
Yes.
Boy, howdy.
yeah, but there's plenty of options for worst of the week.
Yeah.
Biggest fail drop.
Yeah, just tie that in. We could tie that in more to our awards.
Okay, we can certainly do that and go.
And we also have struggling.
Right.
So yeah, we've already got two awards.
Struggling.
We've already got two awards on the show that are themed to our drops.
Sure.
So. I was just like, okay, we'll just find a way. We figure out what we do for the rest of them and find a drop that fits. I like that. Who do you think you are? I am. That's the he is him moment right there, right?
That's right. I don't know how the great Mike Tyson would fit into that, but I went and got that too.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Are you saying now, Mike? Mike?
That's right.
Mike. Mike.
Oh, oh Mike. Man. I want to eat his children. Mike. Praise be to Allah.
Mike, can you please come back and explain what the hell did you mean by that?
I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
The three sentences that have never been strung together before or since by any human ever.
I don't think so. Not intentionally. Anybody who has said that has done it in imitation of the great Mike Tyson.
Exactly. Often imitated, never duplicated. Yeah, I don't know where that would fit in either, but yeah, that's just the most mind-boggling quote of maybe of all time in sports. I'd never heard anything like that. So I had to get that as well. But yeah, we can definitely figure out what will be best and worst and smartest and dumbest. What will be smartest? Because that would not be smartest.
We don't really have most of our drops aren't themed around things that were good.
Okay, smartest maybe I can go. Where did I put that? I know I had the Jeopardy theme up here a long time ago. Like one of the first drops I put on here was the Jeopardy theme, but I don't ever use it because I don't know where I would put it. But I might have even deleted it because I don't ever use. Oh, there's Final Jeopardy. There it is. So maybe that could be the smartest.
Oh, yeah. We're on to Cincinnati.
For smartest?
Yeah, because he's the master.
Ah.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Those coaches who are trying to figure out what to do next, go to Bill Belichick. Coach, what's the smartest move to make?
We're on to Cincinnati.
All right, just we're on to Cincinnati. Just figure out what we're doing next, and that'll be the...
Yeah, I actually, because, yeah, we had smartest, dumbest. I got to go through here. I've got it all.
I know dumbest.
We want that motherfucker!
What was that?
The guy that wants the ball. When he wins the coin toss.
He won that motherfucker!
Forget who that was. Maybe he should go into the Hall of Infamy. But, yeah, the guy that they won the coin toss, and we want that motherfucker. Okay, maybe that won't be the
dumbest, yeah, we had best, worst, smartest, stupidest. Surprise! That's your hey, what happened right there.
Biggest surprise of the week would be what happened. Okay.
Hey, what happened?
And then let down, and then the other two we already had drops for. So, yeah, we'll figure this out.
Sure. We got plenty of choices.
Well, the greatest surprise drop that we don't have is the surprise motherfucker, if you've ever seen that drop.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's just this dude who just walks in from off camera and just goes, surprise, motherfucker.
Okay.
When he's about to bust the guy. And that's like one of the great meme drops. You look it up, you'll find it pretty easy. But I like Wahoppin, because there should definitely be a Wahoppin award.
Yes, certainly.
Because I think every time we do Surprise of the Week, we probably play that drop anyways.
Probably. I wish I could fit Tom and Jerry's Spanish lessons in somewhere, because I have that drop too.
Como
esta acid, señorita.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You got a lot of stuff on here, and probably not as much as other people could have.
No. Our soundboard's long, though.
It is. Very, very long. Very bloated. Probably cut out a lot of stuff. All right. You got anything else?
No, that was a good show. I'm talked out. I almost talked myself out of my voice. I pulled a U-move there.
Yeah. That's not good. Can't do that.
Yeah, I got... No, I'm still, whatever this was, it's been a week and a half, and I'm still, every morning I wake up and I'm just hacking and draining, and the kids gave it to me, because they had it first, and now my wife's got it, so, yeah, it's just one of those summer colds that just, you know, summer colds are the worst.
But they're not back in school yet, though.
No, they've got a week and a half yet before school starts up.
It's something about the South, man. They started last week.
I know.
They start
it was always
so
crazy.
Early.
Yeah.
Every time they talk about their kids are going back, it's like, what? It's still the middle of summer.
Well, for my kids to be starting a full, like, the week before Labor Day is not normal that I can, you know, start
right.
the
we always
Tuesday
started
before
after Labor
Day.
Right?
This seems weird because we always started after Labor Day.
Right.
But my kids are going to be out of school by Memorial Day. We were always getting out sometime like mid-June.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, that's what I was explaining to the people I work with, is that we started after Labor Day, but we had to stay until somewhere in June.
Right.
Whereas they start long before Labor Day comes, but they're done by Memorial Day, basically.
Yes, this is going to be a weird year, because, this is to be the first season coming up where I can remember them actually being officially done with school by Memorial Day. Everything is happening a little earlier this year. So, yeah, we're taking a little vacation this weekend. Getting out. We're going to the Packer preseason game on Saturday night, so I get to see some of their stuff up close. They're playing the Patriots.
You get to see Jordan Love throw it around a little bit to the Patriots.
You know, I saw that last year when we went to the preseason game when they played the Saints, and he played really well. That was when I sort of was like, I came out of that game the most impressed by Romeo Doubs.
Nah.
Because him and Jordan Love, just they have that connection. So watch that out, you fantasy players.
Yeah. I might have to take advantage of it again.
I came out of that game more of an impression that Love had, you know, because sometimes these quarterbacks and these receivers, they who are coming up together, develop that connection. And I definitely felt more of the chemistry with him and Doubs than I did with him and Watson.
Christian Watson, right.
Well, Watson came on late.
Mm-hmm.
He started slow. I mean, he dropped that first bomb to start the season last year, that he kind of was in the doghouse for a while, but then he really came on big time in the second half.
Yeah, helping lead that drive for the playoffs that I thought was going to culminate with that Lions game in it. Oops.
Oh, man. They came all the way back. Oh,
that last step, then the final step.
That was the game. Wasn't that the game that vaulted the Lions into this conversation now that they're going to be
hot
shit team? Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. And then the Bears are going to be a play. Oh, boy. Oh, there is some Kool-Aid getting drank by players and teams and fans right now about how amazing, like, the Jets and the all the preseason hype for the Bears. I know you're a Bears fan, so I'm not trying to crap on you here. But the hype around a team that won 3 games last year, I have never seen so much hype.
Man, they were putting up all these points and touchdowns last year. Man, they going to turn it all the way around this year. I'm not one of those fans. I'll completely admit that I enjoy any semblance of competence out of Justin Fields and the Bears offense. So it's not necessarily Kool-Aid drinking. It's not like I'm saying they're going to go, 10-7 and challenge for the division title or anything like that. But I'm just simply enjoying the fact that we have a competent offense and a tremendously talented quarterback.
Yes, they will be better. I'm not past the point yet where I'm not sure. Do you know how I listen to baseball fantasy podcasts to talk about, especially in baseball, where you have players who are better baseball players than they are fantasy players, right?
Oh, certainly.
I think Justin Fields is a better fantasy player than he is a football player.
That's completely fair.
At this point, hey, Justin Fields won me money last year multiple times. I'm nothing against that production, but I still haven't seen anything, I won't see it until the season starts that the Bears are going to lose a lot of games 32-28 again.
Possibly.
I just don't know. The defense to me is the big question mark with the Bears. Not so much can Fields and that offense produce. Sure they can. They did last year. Their problem wasn't scoring points. It was stopping points from being scored.
And they went out and brought in Ngakoue, I believe, for the defense.
And it's also
so
keeping Fields healthy, because he's going to have the Lamar problem that he can get nicked up pretty easy. And it happened last year.
Yeah, one of those interviews for these stadium jobs that I was going for this summer, we were talking a little bit about the Justin Fields and the Bears, and I said, yeah, he's going to be very interesting and successful this year so long as they can find a way to keep defensive ends from making love to him on every play. And that's just, that's my way of saying it, which is different, but that's just the fact that they have to protect him. They have to block and protect him in order for him to realize any of that potential.
Well, that's any of these teams. We can say that about Joe Burrow. We can say that about Aaron Rodgers. Any quarterback needs protection.
This is true.
But especially mobile quarterbacks.
Well, and mobile quarterbacks
Tua, because
he needs to as a whole
to,
special.
Can they make it so that he can wear that helmet diaper all season?
I don't know if they can do that. I don't know if they can make it where there's mattresses behind him. I don't think they can set that up either.
wrap him up in pillows.
I don't think they can do that. Bubble wrap? No.
I mean, he was getting some of the, and I don't want to call anybody soft or anybody. He was getting some pretty weak concussions.
Yeah, I already said it on the shows last year. I'm under the impression his body isn't actually built to play football. Like, it's sad that that's how it
right.
is. Some people
like when you get a concussion, a dude pushed him over and he got a concussion.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, they can say all the things they want, and he's learning how to fall, and he's taking jiu-jitsu and all that stuff, but you can't learn how to cushion your brain from bouncing inside your head.
Not after it's happened at least twice that we know about. And
that he remembers.
Last year, I think it happened 3 times, because first he hurt his back, right?
He concussed his back, right?
First he concussed his back, then he actually got concussed on the throwing gang signs play.
Right.
And then didn't it happen again after that?
And he got hit again at some point, and they did their best to cover that up.
Right. So we have at least 3 last season.
That we saw, that he admits to.
Hopefully for Tua, he doesn't kill his girlfriend and then kill himself in the parking lot of the Dolphins facility.
That's how you bring it all around full circle. That's a pro right there, folks.
Thank you.
That's how you get it done. All right. I asked if we had anything else, and as usual, we said no, and then we went another 10 minutes.
And then we had another 15 minutes. So, no, I'll let you go. I got to get to work tomorrow. I'm sure you do, too.
I do.
We will most likely have our next show unless we have something just absolutely we have to talk about, I'll plan on our next show being that September 5th for our NFL preview, which that
yeah,
will be fun. They're always fun, but it's like I'm ready now. It's like I got to still wait 3 weeks. I'm ready.
Now, it depends on how tired I am, but that in-between show in August, I like to go out and find some of our friends and bring out, you know, either Tim
yeah,
or
if you've got a,
Renard
if you've
and
got
Ken.
A show, obviously, this week coming up, I wouldn't be able to, but that week after, if you got something in that, you know, around that 29th time, you know, that you got something you got to say, let's do it. If we want to get the Yay Sports people on or Tim the DC correspondent, we want to get somebody on.
Yeah, I won't make any promises, but we'll see.
Okay.
All right, so one more drop for us. Are we actually done now?
Now I'm done.
I think Brady Quinn says that we're finally done.
All right. Well, when Brady quit, when you're BQD,
uh-huh.
It's over.
You got to be done. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of a much less detailed podcast, and this has been your NFL Hall of Infamy class of 2023, and what a newsworthy class indeed it was. So we are indeed looking to November the 5th, that Tuesday?
September the 5th.
Ooh, November. Where the hell am I?
November the 5th for our NFL preview would only be if we wrote for Yahoo.
And we missed the first 2 months
we'll
because
also
we
pick
were
the first
trick-or-treating
eight
with
weeks
our kids.
Of games in November.
So you can tell it's late. I'm talking about November. Tuesday, September
you're talking about
the
somebody
5th.
Who needs to be in the Hall of Infamy. That guy.
He is indeed infamous. But yes, Tuesday, September the 5th is what we're looking at for our NFL preview show. And like I said, no promises, but we might try to get something in before that. It would have to be the week before that, the week of the 29th. But we'll see how it goes, how it works out. All right, we're finally done. And we will talk to you maybe Tuesday, September the 5th, and maybe earlier than that. But either way, we will talk to you later.